Okay, Parshas Drachim, we are in the drush number one. This is part four. So last time we spoke about that the Gemara says that if someone marries a Isha Hoganeslo, so then they'll have good kids. They'll have tzaddikim as children. And therefore that was the raya that Yaakov was married to his two sisters. How do we know, what's the raya, the proof that Hashem was maskim, that it was okay, because all his kids were tzaddikim, so therefore it must have been an Isha Hoganeslo, his two wives. Okay, so on that theme, he discusses another medrash at the end of, in Rus, the end of Rus Rapsi. The medrash says like this: we recognize this from Kriyat Shema Lamita. So it says Rigzav al tachto. So that's David HaMelech was saying that people are miragis on him. People are tumbling about him that he shouldn't be king because he really comes from a psul mishpacha. Because they were saying because he comes from Rus HaMoaviyah, and really that's a psul mishpacha. And so David's response to that was, "Imru vilvavchem al mishkavchem." He said, "What about where you guys come from? You come from Yaakov, who's married to two sisters. So you're no better than me about psul mishpacha. You also come from Yaakov, married to sisters. That's also no good. And furthermore, don't miselli, should be quiet because how could Yehuda have married Tamar? That's also a psul. So therefore, everybody should be quiet." Everybody's got psul mishpacha, so the whole medrash is very strange. How does it help saying, well, you guys from Yaakov married two sisters, that doesn't make him any better. And certainly the thing with Yehuda and Tamar, that's just him. He came from Yehuda and Tamar. Okay, great. It's not the rest of Klal Yisrael, not everybody's from that. So how's that going to keep them quiet? And the whole thing's a pella. So he says, but with his yesod that he said, he can explain it. In other words, David had tzaddikim children, he had Shlomo HaMelech, so it must be that he's not a psul mishpacha, and people are allowed to, you know, he's not a psul mishpacha, people can marry him, he has tzaddikim, so he must not have come from psul mishpacha. So it must be Rus, like the correct Rasha is Moavi v'lo Moavis. Rus was allowed to be married to Boaz, and therefore he's a tzaddik, and his kids were tzaddikim. So that should be a proof that Rus was really allowed to be married to Boaz. If you're going to say, this is David Hood's going to say, if you're going to say that's not a proof, and it's just a segula or whatever, but it's not a proof that your kids are tzaddikim to say that you're a tzaddik, that to say that the marriage was good, so then he said, so then what's going to be with Yaakov and his two sisters he married? That was what we had said before was the proof. Since they were all tzaddikim, it must be that Yaakov came from, it must be that the marriage was good. It's no proof, according to you. So then if you're being passeling me, you're going to end up passeling yourself. Because that's the raya that, since you have all tzaddikim kids, it must be the marriage was a good marriage. So if you passel me, you're passeling yourselves, because then there's no raya about Yaakov and the two sisters he married. And now comes the fancy footwork. Now he says, and if you're gonna, this is the all intended in this medrash, if you're gonna say that no, we don't need any proofs from how the kids turned out, to say that Yaakov was allowed to marry two sisters, we know the Jews before Matan Torah had a full status of Yidden, in which case, when Rachel and Leah came to marry Yaakov, they had to be Megayer, in which case, Gershon is Gayer, Kikonshin Olodomi, so of course that marriage was fine. So if so, he says, so then what about Yehuda and Tamar? What does that mean? So what's the reason Yehuda was allowed to be with Tamar, right? Yehuda didn't know he was with his daughter-in-law. Tamar was Yehuda's daughter-in-law. So Yehuda didn't realize who Tamar was, right? But Tamar knew who she was. Why did Tamar allow herself to be with Yehuda? It's her father-in-law. That's one of the Arayos. So to this, he says, well, what made Yehuda her father-in-law? She was married to Er and Onan. Okay, but the Midrashim, we all know, tell us Er and Onan did something bad, right? They weren't really Mishami, they were Mishami Shalok Kedarka. Okay, so if you're Mishami Shalok Kedarka, so then if the Jews had a status of Nachrim, if they had a status of a Ben Noach, Kodem Matan Torah, a guy cannot become married through a Bia Shalok Kedarka. In which case, if they had a status of Ben Noach, so then it wasn't really her father-in-law at all. However, if they had a din of Jews, then there would have been a kinyan, and it was really her father-in-law, in which case she couldn't have been married to him. So to say that Tamar and Yehuda was a mutter marriage, you'd have to say that they really had a din of a ben Noach. They were kept mitzvahs l'chumrah, but they really had a din of a ben Noach, and that's why it wasn't really her father-in-law. Okay, if so, so then the answer of Gerish and Iskariot Katan Shenolad Dami is not going to be an answer for Yaakov, why he married two sisters, because they really were all Bnei Noach. There was no real Geirus. So you have to say that the only thing that's going to prove that it was really Mutter, for whatever reason it was Mutter, the only reason, you know, another, whatever reason Yaakov was allowed to marry two sisters, as Piyat Dibur, it is, the only way you're going to prove that it was Mutter is because they had all tzaddikim children. The Gemara says you wouldn't all have tzaddikim children if it was from a bad marriage. So the fact that therefore you have to admit to me that having kids that are all tzaddikim is a raya. In which case, since Rus's kids are all good, so therefore it's a raya that my marriage is good too, and that marriage was good, and a Moavia is allowed to marry into the Jewish people, and therefore it's not a psal mishpacha. Okay, now he goes on to another Medrash. There's a Medrash by Kriyas Yamsov. The Medrash by Kriyas Yamsov says, we're all familiar with this more or less, but the wording here is important. So there's a Medrash by Kriyas Yamsov that says, it's in Parshas Beshalach, and it's Parsha Chafal Simen Zayin, Divra Maschel Ar. So it says that the Satan, when they came to Yamsov, the Satan says, that why are you saving them, Hashem? Halalo of the Avodah Zarah and halalo of the Avodah Zarah. And Hashem says this lashon is important. Amalar Kodesh Baruch Hu Shota B'Sheva Olam, you fool! Halalo of them ela mitoch shibud and mitoch tirif hadas. The Jews only worshipped Avodah Zarah and Mitzrayim because of the shibud and because of tirif hadas. So they couldn't. They all their shibud was so hard, and therefore, and it also made their heads. They couldn't think straight. So that's how they ended up worshipping Avodah Zarah. And you're judging them as if they're amazed. The mitzvah are amazed. Okay. So he says, you can ask on this medrash, but why did the Hashem call the Satan a Shota? Could have said, you Russia, you bum. Shota, what's foolish about what he said? Why is he a fool? And also, he says that Shibun and Tirif Hadas is you're donning Shogig Kemezid Vonas Keratzon. He wants to explain the shogig and the onus. What are the two things? So he says like this. It's a very beautiful pshat. He says that there's a difference between a yid and a guy. And that is one lakula and one lachomer when it comes to shmir samitzvos. So if, let's say by the gimach hamaros, you know, by avodah zarah, which is one of the shavu mitzvos b'nei noach, to not worship avodah zarah, is a guy mitzvah to give up his life? So that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Afayin and Dalad said, a guy is not mitzvah. A guy is not mitzvah in Kiddush Hashem, and is not mechuyev to give up his life for Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's a big kula for a guy. That a guy is not, since they're not mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, therefore they're not mechuyev to give up their life, because that's a separate mitzvah, and it's not one of the seven. So they're not mechuyev to give up their lives for Avodah Zarah. Okay. On the other hand, they have a chumrah, in that there's no such thing as a shogeg. Now, this is not pashut, but this Rashi says this in Makos, that I think it's a daftes, because you don't have to give hasra. There's no hasra by a guy. If there's no hasra, it must be that shogeg is just as chayiv as mezid. So you have a kula and a chumrah. A kula that they don't have to give up their lives for avodah zarah, and a chumrah that shogeg is the same as Mason. It's just, they're both achiv. Okay. So now, the Jews had the Shibud and the Tirif Hadas. So he explains the Shibud made them into an onus. They were under the Mitzrims and they forced them to do whatever they had to do. And I guess Avodah Zarah was part of that. I assume that's what he means. And then the Tirif Hadas was the Shogig. They couldn't think straight, so they were a Shogig. So the Satan was Mesopic. In this Shiloh we keep talking about, did the Jews code of Matan Torah have a din of a Ben Noach or a din of a Jew? So the Satan said both. He said, look, they were Shogig and they were an Onus. So if they had the status of a Ben Noach, so I'll say they're a shogig. And a Ben Noach is chayiv, even if he's shogig. And if you say they have a status of a Jew, I would say a Jew, even if he's an ones, he has to give up his life. So therefore, you shouldn't save them. That's what the Satan tainted. So, but to say that the Jews were chayiv, you have to take the chumras of both, because they were both a shogig and an ones. So, to say that they're chayiv, you have to be taking the chumras of both, that the chumra of a guy and the chumra of a Jew. So that's why, and the Gemara says that anyone who takes the chumras of Beis Shammai and the chumras of Beis Hillel is a fool. So that's why Hashem says, Shota, if you want to say the Jews are chayiv, you're taking the chumras of both, the chumras of a Ben Noach and the chumras of a Yid. So you're a Shota, because they were both a shogig and an ones, rather, and therefore they're definitely potter. Okay, this brings us to another medrash that, again, we're all familiar with from Rashi, which is, it says, Yosef brought, Vayivei Yosefus di basam ra'al alavihem, that Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers, and he told it to Yaakov. What was this Lashon Hara? So he said, one of the things he said was that they eat Eivrim and Achai. So the Mizrahi asks, so if they taka reading Eivrim and Achai, what did Yosef do wrong? His answer was, no, they didn't do anything wrong. The Eivrim and Achai that he saw them eating, what it was is that they shechted an animal, and it was still mefarkeses. So that means there was a good shechita done, but it wasn't really dead yet. It was still being mefarkes, still jumping around there. So for a Jew, that's mutter. It's mutter because it had a good shechita. You could eat it right then while it's still mefarkes. Well, we'll get back to that in a second, but it's considered a good shechita and it's mutter for a Jew. But for a Ben Noach doesn't, shechita doesn't do anything for a Ben Noach. It has to be dead. So for a Ben Noach, it is a problem. So he saw them eating a mefarkeses, and therefore he thought it was a problem because he didn't realize that it's mutter. And so that's why he said that they were eating Eivrim and Achai. And he didn't realize that for a Yid, it's taka mutter. So that's why it wasn't. He made a mistake about that. And he thought it was Eivrim and Achai. Or another pshat is, the Mizrahi says, that there's a man darmer in the Gemara that even mefarkesis is mutter to a guy, because there can't be anything that's usher for a guy and mutter for a Jew. So that man darmer holds that even a mefarkesis is mutter even to Goyim. So then again, what was Yosef's mistake? If you hold like that, Yosef's mistake was he didn't realize that there can't be anything that's usher for a guy and mutter for a Jew, and therefore he thought it was usher what they were doing. He thought mefarkesis is a problem, and it turns out he's wrong. It's not a problem. Okay, so according to that, Yosef just didn't know the right halacha. Okay, he brings another pshat from a similar type pshat from the Rebbe of the Marash Yafa. That says that the mistake of Yosef with Eivrim and Achai was about a Ben Pakua. A Ben Pakua is when you have a mother cow and it's pregnant, it has a baby cow inside, and you shecht the mother, and the child, the baby is born after the shechita, born alive after the shechita. So that baby is called a Ben Pakua, and it doesn't really need shechita because the shechita of the mother counts for the child. Okay, so therefore, he saw him eating, Yosef saw them eating this Ben Pakua. Yosef didn't realize it was a Ben Pakua. His brothers were eating this cow, this baby Ben Pakua. He saw them eating it without shechting it. He saw Eivrim and Achai, and that's why he thought it was Asur, but he didn't realize it was a Ben Pakua, and it really wasn't Eivrim and Achai. Okay, so those were the two pshatim he brings. However, he has a big problem with this, with the last one. This Marash Yafa, he says, I don't understand. What did he see exactly? If he saw them eating literally, Eivrim and Achai of this Ben Pakua, even if it was a Ben Pakua, you're right, the shechita of the mother makes it that you can eat the child without any shechita. That's true. It's not Eivrim and Achai. But you still have to wait till it's dead, because there's another isser called Osochlu al Adam, which says you can't eat an animal you have to wait till it dies. Even by this case, even by a Ben Pakua. So, what did he see them eating? If he saw them eating it before it died, so then they're over. It's true there wasn't Eivrim and Achai, but it was Lo Sochel al Adam. So the brothers were still wrong. And if He saw them not doing that. If they did let it die and the brothers had done nothing wrong, they just didn't shecht it, and Yosef was seeing them, hey, they didn't shecht this, why didn't they shecht it? It was dead, yes, but they didn't shecht it. Well, then he would have said they ate Ibn Menachai. He would have said they ate Nevelis and they ate Nevelis, they didn't shecht it. So he doesn't like this pshat. So he likes the Mizrahi's pshat that it was a Mefarkesis. But he doesn't like saying that Yosef didn't know the halacha. So rather, he says what he's been saying the whole time, that this was the machlokas, the brothers, and Yosef, exactly this, whether they had a status of a Jews. The brothers held that they had a status of Yin, and therefore a Mefarkesis is mutter. It's mutter for Yin and Mefarkesis. But Yosef held that they had a status of a Ben Noach. A Ben Noach is not mutter but a Mefarkesis. And therefore he said, because for a guy, it's Eivir Menachai, so therefore he complained to his father that they were eating Eivir Menachai. Okay, we'll stop here.